Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. And I imagine he just woke up because he's covering the Aussie Open, where the matches start late or they start early, but they never start on time if you live in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. It is a TSN reporter and man who anchor covering all things tennis, Olympics, and a ton in between. It is Mark Rowe. Good afternoon, Mark. Good morning, I guess, maybe.
Good afternoon. Good morning. I'm not sure. You know, I did think about maybe just delaying the hello back to you.
Yeah,
you think that maybe I fell asleep here on the wheel, but no, everything's good, my man. How are you?
Good. I am doing very well, and I want to start with this ridiculous question. Nadal Nadal is plus 270 to win the men's single title, and the main reason I'm not going to bet on him is his hair. When did he get that giant bald? What happened to that hair? I was watching that match last night, and my first thought beyond, hey, Shapovalov, he's angry right now. My first thought, what happened to that hair?
You know, it's funny because Rafa was dealing with a foot injury last year, and maybe as the casual tennis fan, you haven't watched as much Rafa over the last year or two as you have in the past. So, he's had some time to get a little bit older. And when you get older, sometimes you lose your hair a bit. But listen, I'm okay with it. You know why? Because if you're going to be one of the most ridiculously incredible athletes and have hundreds of millions of dollars, you shouldn't have good hair. You know, like give that to like the civilians here. Give it to the Matt Cause and Mark Rose.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's like
when, you know, when everyone's like ripping on Tiger Woods this year, it's like, you know what? I'll be bald and take the money and take the fame. Okay.
Okay. So basically you're giving him a pass because he has everything else. It's sort of the opposite of Brady.
Well, he could maybe do something with the hair. I think he maybe should do the, I don't know, the guys on Overdrive always call it the Mark Messier, the shorten it up a bit, but whatever. What am I? He's not going to take advice from me. He's doing pretty good with his life. So
mess out there. All right. what was just your take on what we saw last night with Shapovalov? My thought is that there's no point yelling. And again, for people who don't know, in the match, there was times where it seemed like Nadal is getting a little too long, especially between the fourth and the fifth set, and just getting these medical, you know, these timeouts. And Shapovalov's point was everything is favored towards Nadal, and he called the officials corrupt. And my thought is I understand in the heat of the moment, it's hard to control the emotions, but none of that was going to help Shapovalov in a match that he ultimately lost in five sets.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to guard LeBron James and not getting calls, you know, and you can complain all you want, but you're never going to get it, right? And Rafa has, in a way, it's frustrating. You can say it's unfair for a player like Shapovalov or anyone else that has to face, you know, the big three, but in a way they've kind of earned that leniency. Like he did get one time warning with his serve. I think it wasn't until the fourth set, I believe, and then he double faulted. I get it. And you know what? You're taking a player at his worst moment afterwards and asking them, you know, so how pissed off are you about all those things? Of course, they're going to go off a little bit. To go back to the beginning of the match, I think one of the big things that failed Shapovalov was that he wasted so much energy on it and he didn't block it out. And he has done a marvelous job in his career with being a little more stoic on the court. And it's not to say he needs to be completely stoic and not show his emotion, but this is the first time all tournament that he has complained about anything. And it's not as if he's had all these like blowout wins where there's nothing to complain about. So I think the moment got to him a little bit, and that's why, and Rafa was playing lights out. So I don't know if there's anything he could have done in those first two sets. Then I'll give him credit for turning things around and being the steady player and for being opportunistic and to force a fifth set, which nobody really saw coming. But again, it's like as soon as something goes bad, you know, he's yelling at his coaches, he's yelling at himself, he's yelling at the chair umpire. What does that do? Not a whole lot. And especially against Rafa, who is so mentally strong and maybe wasn't as physically strong as he would like to, but that, you know, he willed his way to a victory. And hopefully for the Shapovalovs of the tour, when they lose these matches, they can look back and go, okay, that was a huge mistake. I can't do that. As much as it's so easy to complain about the situation, it doesn't do me any good, and I have to just focus on whatever the game plan was, which, you know, the game plan for Shapovalov, if you watched, changed. He was way back on his return, and he made an adjustment, and it started to work. And, you know, it's painful because you have all the momentum going into the fifth set, and, you know, Dennis complained about the seven-minute bathroom break that disrupted it. You can't let that bother you. You can't. And, you know, again, hopefully he learns from it and he can move on, because it was a phenomenal tournament for him.
Yeah, and that's the shame. It was a very good tournament, and then, you know, a hell of a comeback to force a fifth set. But that's not the headline. The headline was everything else that went on around it. And again, I mean, like, do you view a match like that and see, okay, this can be a good building block for Shapovalov?
I do. Now it's up to him. You know,
yeah.
Like I said the same thing when he lost to Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon last year in the semifinals, where he really made Novak uncomfortable. He should have won the first set, loses in straight sets in a match that everyone thought it didn't feel like a straight set. It felt like more four sets, five sets. Dennis is all emotional afterwards. Novak gave him so much credit. And then Dennis, you know, went on a really bad run. Like he didn't play well the rest of the season until he made the final in Stockholm. But the U.S. Open, he didn't play that well. Didn't play well in the big tune-up events for that final major. So really, it's on him, you know. And I guess we'll see over the next couple of months. But for sure, it can be. This is one of those matches where you look back and go, you know, I was a 22-year-old who showed his immaturity, and I was right there, and I had the shots, and I had the game plan, and I had everything to beat, you know, one of these legends, and to beat him the first time I'm facing him at a major, and I let it kind of go through my fingertips. So yeah, it'll be on, you know, how he really kind of matures as a player, because it's not one of those things where I got to work on my backhand, because clearly that failed me. And you know, there's so much growth in his game, both on the court and in his head. And that's maybe the positive to come out of this, is that he's not tapping out with his resources.
Yep. No, it's true. There is a lot of positives, and now it just depends. Can he build on it? And yeah. All right. Moving on from that. Mark Rose joining us, covering all things tennis, Aussie Open with us, anchor at TSN. You see him on SportsCenter as well. The most important question I can ask you: what time is Felix Auger-Aliassime versus Daniel Medvedev?
It's in prime time, Matty. It's when all the networks fight over each other to get this time slot. This was the original TGIF or whatever they call it. It is 3:30 a.m. Eastern. So it's it's 12:30 on the West Coast. So this is the first. This is the first time that a Canadian has been in the quote-unquote night session in Melbourne, which is early morning our time. So I guess I can't complain that, you know, we've had a lot of our Canadians play at, say, 10 o'clock like last night, or 11 p.m.
Yes.
But, it's showtime. Felix Auger-Aliassime versus Daniil Medvedev. Set your PVRs or set your alarm clocks and come join me. It's going to be fun.
You're a real MVP.
By the way, I think I said Danielle, but I between Felix Auger-Aliassime and Daniel Medvedev, I did damn well. Like,
you
of those
great
five words, I think I got four pretty much correct. So I'm feeling good about myself. All right. As this is a betting show, or it has elements of it, I just throw it to you. You can only bet one, and maybe you can do it the easiest bet or the one where there's value. Nadal plus 70. To win 270 to win it all, Medvedev minus 110 to win it all, or Felix Auger-Aliassime to win at 3:30 tomorrow morning at plus 530. So if you bet 100, you win $530. Of those three, which one is Mark Rowe taking?
You know, the reason why this show wins so many awards is not because it's boring. It's not because it's safe. Let's go with Felix. Let's go with the Canadian.
Love
Let's
it.
Retire on this bet.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You
exactly.
Like that? You like that?
I do, Kirk Cousins. I do. And I love that when you're in the NFC East throwing those picks. But anyways.
By the way, real quick as we end this, how much did it hurt you as a Cowboy fan that when Patrick Mahomes got the team into a field goal with 13 seconds, immediately on Twitter, everyone said Dak had 14 and couldn't get it done?
Maddie, I've been all Australian Open tennis. I have not focused at all on the NFL. I have no idea what happened over the last couple of weeks. Are the Bills still alive? Is Carlo okay?
Oh, poor Carlo. Poor Carlo. He's still. Yeah. He's
no, yeah, that
Al's
was a real
brother.
Football team. That was a real football team that had a coach, had a game plan, had timeouts. The quarterback told his receiver what to do, and the receiver did it. It was. Yeah,
it's a tough one.
Anyways, so yeah, Felix today at 3:30 a.m. Eastern.
There it is.
I'll be there, and so will you, man.
Well, the thing is these tennis matches go 4 hours, so I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be waking up to it.
I'll be there for the end of it. I might not be there for your intro. So as we end this, Mark, what are you saying?
Don't work too hard on my intro.
I, you know what? It doesn't have to be your best one. You know, okay. It doesn't have to be Walt Whitman. You know, you can just get by with, you know, Walt. Are you taking a nap? Are you now up for the day? What is going on with you with your sleep?
I'm up for the day. My sleep pattern has been typically 6 a.m. to noon. I've been getting home around 6 a.m. I think that streak's going to be broken today or tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm up. I do some notes. I throw on something in the background on TV. I take the dog for a walk just to get the blood flowing because that's the only exercise I'm getting at this moment. I'm living off of Niner Diner Catering and lots of tennis.
Lucky. You're a lucky man diet. Well, good luck. All the best. And I'm sorry that your sleep patterns is basically like Kramer or Jerry when the Kenny Rogers roasters. Yeah, when the Kenny Rogers. That's basically your sleep right now. All the best, my friend. Hey, listen, it's an exciting match. Canadians get into the quarters. And if we see an upset at plus 530, you're cashing in some good money there. Thanks so much, Mark.
I might not show up to work tomorrow if it happens.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, screw you guys. It's my gold-plated Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, that is my style. Thanks,
Take care, my friend. Yeah, thank you. That is Mark Rowe, TSN anchor, Aussie Open, 3:30 this morning. Felix Auger-Aliassime.